Let's bow our heads. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for your Son. It's through him that we celebrate communion. We celebrate his death and resurrection. We celebrate his promises, as it states in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in Hebrews 13, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Thank you, Father, for your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As part of our communion message this morning, I want to talk to you about suffering. Suffering is something that most of us try to avoid, and I would guess that most of us would never think of asking for more suffering in our life. Suffering means to undergo and endure pain, death, punishment, judgment, or grief. As I look around the room at Grace Bible Church, I know many of you. And I know that many of you, if not most, have experienced suffering in the past or are experiencing suffering right now. You may be suffering for many different reasons, medical reasons, the loss of a loved one, just the rejection of family for your love for Christ. This kind of suffering is inevitable in everyone's life, whether you're a believer or not. And I don't want to minimize that kind of suffering, but today I would like to talk to you about a different kind of suffering, a type of suffering that is known only to a believer. Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Let's read together. "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Let's first take a look at what this passage does not say about suffering. It does not say if you have suffered. It says after you have suffered, which means that all will suffer, not just a few, but all. It does not say how long or how much you will suffer, only that you will suffer for a little while. Before we go any further, back up with me to 1 Peter 1, verse 1, so we can see who Peter is writing to and why he is concerned about their suffering. 1 Peter 1, 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father." Now drop down to verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Paul wrote this letter shortly after the beginning of Nero's persecution of the church in Rome. Christians there were being ridiculed, discriminated against, and Nero was imprisoning, torturing, and murdering believers because of their faith in Christ and their radically changed lifestyles. Peter wrote this book to suffering Christians, and the body of this letter is about how to handle that suffering. What kind of suffering is this? It's persecution. Persecution of the worst kind. Peter knew that this persecution of Nero would most likely extend beyond Rome into other areas of the Roman Empire. There was already persecution of believers occurring in these scattered areas, not only because of the pagan societies that they lived in, but also from their fellow Jews who were hostile toward them. But these believers were being comforted and encouraged through Peter's message to stand firm in their faith in Christ. Peter so graciously ends verse 2 in chapter 1 with, "May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." And again, our passage for today in chapter 5, he encourages them by saying, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Peter's message in this passage is twofold. The first thing is he wants readers to understand that their suffering on this earth is for a little while only, and that their true home is in heaven, where Jesus is, where there is no suffering. For a little while means that Jesus is coming soon. And as believers, we also need to be encouraged with that truth, especially when suffering for the sake of righteousness. And second, Peter wanted those scattered believers to know that God himself will perfect, confirm, and strengthen them. Note the use of the personal pronoun himself. God is saying that he is personally involved in their suffering. And if you are a believer, he personally is involved in your suffering. The words perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish mean to set your feet on solid ground, on a solid foundation, to strengthen us, to give us what is needed in our suffering for the sake of the gospel. What a comfort it is that we can know this. Peter is encouraging his readers to endure suffering in such a way that the grace of God will be apparent in their lives. There is no one who understands more than Christ in what it means to suffer unjustly for the sake of righteousness. John MacArthur says, "What happened as a result of the death of Christ? It was the worst travesty of justice ever in the history of the world. It was the most unjust cruelty ever, because he was the only perfect righteous individual. He did not deserve to be treated the way men treated him. He didn't deserve to be treated the way God treated him. It was the greatest suffering and the greatest injustice, but it achieved the greatest end. Jesus, through his suffering, brought us back to God. And in that sense, he is our example. He's an example to us to trust God's purpose in our pain. Believer, as you take communion today, take comfort in the God who chose you, in the one who saved you from eternal damnation, and the one who promised to help you through all and any of your suffering. His grace is sufficient. On the other hand, if you are a believer but have confessed continual sin in your life and are unwilling to repent, please do not be deceived. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you fail the test." Examine yourselves, confess your sin, repent, turn away from it, be restored to God. Be restored and join us in communion. If you're not a believer, then you must know that you do not have these promises. You will suffer alone without the strength of God, and your suffering will be forever. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, please let the elements pass you by. However, please know that we are glad you're here, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Please don't let today go without talking to an elder or the person who brought you. It is our prayer that you repent of your sins and believe in the saving work of Jesus' death and resurrection. Please join me in communion. The men will now bring the bread and the juice and take communion on your own when you're ready.